Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
You have bombarded my mind with useless, petty crap. We can talk later. Perhaps in the kitchen while we're eating a sandwich. What the hell?
And now, today's episode.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm trying to think of creative things to do with my nose hairs. Right now, they just protrude from my nose for no reason whatsoever, and I don't know. Maybe I should put them in a bun, a man bun. I don't know what to do with them. I don't know. See, I can't see my ear hairs too well because they're hidden by my long, beautiful, flowing hair. So I can't see around the corner of my face. That's difficult to do. So I don't see what's going on in my ears. I really don't. But the nose I can see. I can see that very clearly. My eyes are placed just above it. It's not a problem to see what's going on in there. And man, my body's churning out hair. I don't understand it. I've talked about this before. Why is it when you get older, all the hairs that you don't want to grow crazy? But the hairs that you do want to grow on top of your head and stuff, they say, nah, we're done. We're transferring everything to the parts of the body that you don't want us in. What's up with the hair follicle thing? Is that a psychological trick that they pull on people? What the hell? And then my eyebrows. What the hell's going on with the eyebrows? They were under control for all of my life. They were just there. They were pretty. They helped me look surprised or angered or concerned. The eyebrows were doing a beautiful job. Never had to worry about them. The color was always right on. Then I got older and the eyebrows said, let's go crazy. Let's just blossom ourselves all over the guy's face. My eyebrows are growing in like all different directions. It's like hair on steroids. What's going on, guys? Why are you doing this? And they're very thick, wiry hairs, too. They don't kid around. My eyebrows are healthy. They are. I don't know what it is. It's like I'm taking eyebrow helper or something. It's like, wow. Now I have to trim my eyebrows. Never had to do that before. Now I'm in the eyebrow trimming stage, and it takes a long time, too. I have to do them one by one because they're going all over the place. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Is that what evolution is? I don't know. I'm scared. Thank God I can't see my ass. Thank God I have no clear visual path to my ass because I don't know what the hell's going on in there. I don't think there's any hairs growing in there. I would not know. And I'm not going to ask my doctor, you know, like, hey, while you were in there with your little proctology exam and stuff, did you happen to see any hairs? You can't ask them that. That is so personal. It's just the doctor would say, I'm sorry, you can no longer be my patient. There's something wrong with you. So I have no idea what's going on there. And I'm not going to finagle a makeup mirror, you know, shine it toward my butt and see if I can get a reflection out of the mirror in my bathroom. I have no idea what's going on down. I have none. There is no physical way that I can see my ass. None. I guess I could take a selfie of my ass, but I can't even position it because I can't see where. I know. You know, there's an app for everything. Did you know that? Uh-huh, there is. Why isn't there a proctology app where really you download this, you know, in your app store, you download a proctology app and you take your cell phone and you shove it up your ass. And, it goes in as far as it can go. Smaller the phone, the more effective the exam. And then you pull it out of your ass, and then it gives you a reading and pictures. And I that would be, well, can someone invent an ass app, please? Ass app, please? I think it would be quite valuable. I think people who didn't even want to use it would find it quite interesting and enjoyable. I don't know. I can't figure out the human race anymore. I've given up on that, too. I can't figure you out. I can't. I don't understand the human race. I don't. The human race walks around touting goodness and love and then touts it but doesn't practice it. Instead, the human race does the violence thing, the I'm wonderful, you're an idiot thing. I mean, I'm into that, actually. But what's with the human race? It's like when you go into church and you sit there and you're so pious and you're so straight and narrow and wonderful, and then you get out of church and you're cursing like a drunken sailor, and you're abusing people, and you're the meanest idiot in the world. But in church, what an angel you are! That's the human race. We practice morals and wonderful things. And when it comes down to it, we completely dismiss it. We completely dismiss all of them. And what is the barometer for our goodness? It's our little children. It's those little people with little necks and little heads that go running around. Those are the barometers, because what you must say to yourself 24/7, every single day, every single minute, every single second, would I expose my children to this? And if the answer is no, what the hell are you exposing yourself to it for? Your morals are out the window for you, but for the little children, the morals are solid. And no, not with my child. With the rest of the world, fine, but not with my child. That's your moral compass. And you got it. You got it all wrong. Not you. I'm not talking to you specifically over there. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about you as a planet. I don't get it. Every day that I'm alive longer, I get it less. I started getting it when I was younger, and then the older I got, the more I realized this is not right. The whole thing's a facade. Yeah. You feel the same way I do? Are you even still there? Hello? Anybody there? Hello? I don't know. That's the fact, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
You want the fact? Everything sucks, okay? There's your fact. Need I go into more? That's your fact. Run with it, go with it, whatever you want. Man. Even Alexa knows that it sucks.
Sorry, I don't know that.
Well, you should. I can't say her name out loud. All of a sudden, my house goes crazy. She's everywhere. She's in every room, Alexa is. As soon as I say her name, these little devices light up, and she has to say something. Can you imagine? I have to whisper this because I have one of those devices in my studio here. Why do I have one? I don't know. Okay? I don't know. But if I say her name too loud, she will activate and she will bug the hell out of me. She says, like, why don't you clip those nose hairs? They're getting out of control, and look at your eyebrows. She says those things to me. And I didn't even program her to do that. I guess it's obvious. I met a lady, and I don't know where it was. It wasn't that kind of meeting. It was just I was talking to somebody, and her name was Alexa. Her parents named her that way before this device was ever conceived by man. But that's her name. And I said to her, do you have trouble with that? when you're in a room with somebody and they say your name, all the devices light up. Is that a problem for you? And she said, sometimes it is. We just laugh about it because it's so funny. I said, no, you got a serious problem. You got a serious problem. And, you know, if you just gave birth like a couple of minutes ago and you're listening to the show, first of all, thank you. Secondly, and then you decide to name your kid Alexa, what are you doing? What are you doing? The Amazon people have taken that name out of circulation. You cannot use that name. You cannot. They don't have a copyrighted or anything, or maybe they do. But you can't name anybody that or say that out loud. Devices all over the world will go off. I mean, you say that here and some device in New Delhi, India will go. Oh, New Delhi, wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, a wonderful New Delhi with corned beef and all those sliced nitrate meats. I love the smell of the deli. I love the deli pickles. I buy pickles in a jar sometimes for no reason whatsoever, just because it's possible to do. But nothing tastes the same as a pickle from a deli. I don't know what they do to it. But if you're in a deli and you eat a pickle, it's different than opening a jar in your home and eating a pickle. It's like a whole different experience. I think it's psychological, but it also tastes different to me, but it could be psychological. Do you ever think that we would end up here discussing pickles? I didn't. When I got up this morning, got dressed, trimmed my eyebrows, I did not know that I would publicly be commenting on pickles that come from a deli. I don't know how I got there. I have no idea, but here I am. I've told the story before, and I'll tell it again because you don't remember this. I know you don't because it's of no consequence to you. A friend of mine is also an incredible talent, and he does the comedy commercials on this show, and his voice is in the opening. He's all over this show, and he's wonderful, and thank you so much. His name is John Shanahan. Google him. He does some incredible stuff. John Shanahan, Google him. Anyway, I had lunch with him once. I think it was lunch or something. It was in a place called Whitman, Massachusetts. That's a town. And there was, I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but it had a name. And we sat there and we were drinking some beers or something. And we were going to order some appetizers. And he looked at this menu. And he knew the people who worked in the restaurant, who owned the restaurant. You know, John's got connections. He looked at the menu and he said, I'm going to have the fried pickles. And I stopped and I looked at him and I said, I've never heard of fried pickles. What the hell is that? He said, oh, Ron, you've got to try it. They actually fry the pickle. It's a taste that's it's fantastic. I said, you know, John, I can't imagine a pickle being fried and then eating it. And I don't remember. I think it's breaded. I really don't know. This was a long time ago. It was before I was born. He ordered the fried pickles. He said, Ron, try one. And I felt like saying, no, I really, you know, it's like someone says, hey, these are wonderful chocolate-covered grasshoppers. Try one. You know, you want to, but at the same time, no, there's no reason for me to try this. I don't want it. I probably won't die from doing it, but I don't see the point of doing it at all. I've never had the occasion to, oh my God, if I only had a grasshopper that was covered in chocolate, life would be wonderful. Never had that. So he says, Ron, try this fried pickle. And I looked at the pickle and it was fried and it was hot. And I think it was breaded. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But I absolutely did not want it. And I did not try it. And to this day, I've never had a fried pickle. But all of a sudden, I want to try one and also a chocolate-covered grasshopper or a chocolate-covered grasshopper hidden inside of a fried pickle. That would be, I mean, on my bucket list, skydiving? No. Bungee jumping? No. Chocolate-covered grasshopper embedded in a fried pickle? Top of my list. Top of my list. Will I ever do it? No way. No way. You see, it's not what you do, it's what you hope to do. Most of us will never meet our hopes and dreams. Stop it. Stop trying. I guess the journey is like intriguing, frustrating, whatever. It's something to do. But at the same time, man, here's something I learned when I was growing up. And I learned it very, very well and very hard. Ooh, that sounded sexy. I learned it very hard. It's not achieving the goal that is the excitement. It's the journey to the goal. That's the deal. That's the deal. The journey to the goal. Once you hit the goal, there's no satisfaction. Your response is, well, all right. Here I am. That's satisfying. I need another journey to another goal now. It's the journey. It's the road to that is the excitement and the wonderfulness of our experiences. I wish I could do this professionally, stand on a stage somewhere and do public speaking, you know, just stand there and just spout out all this crap and have all these people, motivational speaking. I want to motivate people to give me money. And I would charge them like $50 a seat, and I'm going to give a motivational speech about things in a large auditorium. It's $50 a seat, and you sit there, and you listen to me talk for an hour and a half, and then when you leave, you get all hopped up about everything I said, and as soon as you're out the door, you forget everything. You forget it. Yeah, whatever. It's like going to church again, you know. When you're in there, you're motivated, you feel wonderful. As soon as you're out the door, hey, where's a beer? And get me a couple of babes to nail. You know, it's wow. You know, it's the same thing with motivational speaking. And I don't care who the motivational speaker is. I don't care. And what the subject matter is, motivational speakers, if they charge money for the seat, that's all they care about. I don't care. Give me the money. Because that's how they make their living. I want to be a motivational speaker. I also want to be the Pope. We've been through this before many, many, many times. I put in an application, still have not heard back. But I said, I want to be the Pope. I want to stand on a balcony and address a lot of people at once. That's really my goal. It's the journey. I don't want to have to worry about what I'm going to wear the next day. It's all laid out for me. It's always the same hat and same robe. You know, maybe a little bit different ornament on the robe. But other than that, I know what I'm wearing. I want servants to take care of me. I never want to pick up anything off the floor again. I want people to do that for me and then give it to me in the palm of my hand. I want to bless people. I think that's a nice thing to do. It goes nowhere, but it seems really, really nice to do. I want to bless people. I want to not worry about what I'm going to wear the next day, and I want to stand on a balcony and address people in my underwear. I think that so I send in the application. You can get it online. It's at vaticancity.org, and you fill out the application, and then when there's an opening, they call you apparently, and a cardinal will interview you, and it's like getting into college, sort of. So I don't know. I haven't heard back yet. And I've got all the qualities they're looking for. The major quality is I've got nothing else to do. My time is available. It's not like I have to be the Pope and, oh, but I got to leave. I've got to pick up my kids from daycare. No, I don't have that problem. I don't have that problem at all. I'm there. But no, have I heard back? No, not even a letter of acknowledgement from the Vatican. Mr. Van Dam, we received your application for Pope. We'll let you know if there are any developments. Nothing. No emails. No, I left my email address there. No emails from them saying, Lisa, we've received your application. Please do not reply. Nothing at all. Void of a response. Who the hell do they think they are? So will I ever become the Pope? Chances are not. You know, when parents say to their children, when the children are really young, you know, when you grow up, you can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. You can't be the Pope. Chances are nil. To nothing. You cannot be the Pope. And you can't be the king of a kingdom because you don't have the blood in you. You need that kind of blood. You need the blue blood. So can't do that either. I don't want to do that, so that doesn't matter. Become the Pope? I would at least like the title, you know, even a diploma. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen in my lifetime. And that's depressing. It's depressing. It's a goal I have, and I'm never going to reach it. So, you know, whatever. So I choose other goals, and here we are, and I'm doing a talk show. There you have. Fried pickles, man. I'm telling you. It's the way to go. Choose your battles and go for it. Okay, fine. Don't twist my nipples. When we come back, my guest will join us.
Here on the Ron Van Dam Show, our policy is anything goes.
Do not twist my nipples.
Okay, almost anything goes. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Podcast.
Let's say hello to Linda DiCarlo and Dr. Jose Arce. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Ron. Good
morning, Ron. How are you?
Great. Thank you very, very much. We're talking about dog bites, and who better to talk about this with than the Postal Service runs into this problem every day all over the place. Linda DiCarlo is with the U.S. Postal Service. This is a rampant problem, and it always has been, even in cartoons.
That's absolutely right, Ron. One of the things that the Postal Service hears a lot is, don't worry, my dog won't bite.
Yeah.
But given the right circumstances, any dog can bite.
No question about it. I have two dogs, and they are leashed at all times if they hit the outdoors at all. But so many people in my neighborhood don't do that. They let them run around their property, inevitably they run off. And I guess when you get into rural areas, it's like leashes. I don't even know what those things are. And it infuriates me because it's so irresponsible. And yeah, I mean, postal employees go onto people's properties in order to do their job. And I can't imagine what they go through.
It is amazing, Ron. Last year alone, we had 5,700 letter carriers who were attacked by dogs. And there's really some simple tips that a homeowner and a responsible pet owner can take in order to help protect the letter carriers that are coming to their doors. The first is, when you see the letter carrier coming up to your door, put the dog in another room, lock the door, shut the door before you come to the front door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I think customers don't realize is that if a letter carrier feels threatened, they will ask the customer to have to come to the post office to pick up their mail.
Good.
And if the dog's running loose on the streets, they could impact the delivery for their entire neighborhood.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And you know, there are laws against this. I don't know what they are in every state. But in Massachusetts, for example, where our studio is, there are very strict leash laws. But it's like people don't even seem to honor them because they all say what you've just said, Linda, is that my dog doesn't bite.
Yeah, in Massachusetts alone, we had 126 of those dog bites take place.
Where does that rank? Where does that rank, Linda, as far as the rest of the country is concerned?
Massachusetts is actually probably within the top five as a whole state. Rhode Island is probably one of the better of the Northeast region.
Uh huh. Okay,
but I would say Massachusetts is probably about halfway through.
All right. Well, that's not great. Doctor was with the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Jose. A serious problem? I mean, what can result from dog bites? Obviously, you know, that's not a great thing anyway, but how serious is this?
Well, the figures show there's about 4.5 million dog bites a year in the United States, and they range from very minor bites to major bites. And what we emphasize is part of what you say, speaking about using a leash, is responsible pet ownership, and that's the key. Prevention of dog bites starts at the owner, starts with puppy training. Yeah. Starts with selecting the right breed or the right type of dog, yeah, according to your lifestyle, your life environment, the size of where you live.
Yeah.
And those are things that we emphasize so we can prevent dog bites.
Yeah. It falls under the category of human emotion. It's like if you have a little child and your kid goes to school and they get in trouble and they get into a fight, the parent always says, "My kid didn't start that. My kid doesn't fight. My kid was never the aggressor." And it's the same with the dogs. My dog never bites. My dog is, "Oh, they're just playing. It's fine." It's just...
Correctly. And we hear this on a daily basis. As veterinarians, we hear, "Oh, this dog has never bitten."
Yeah.
And for me, that's kind of like a key to be aware, it's going to bite me. And basically, any dog can potentially bite. We know there's over 70 million good dogs out there, but potentially any dog will bite.
Absolutely.
And they don't bite because they're born aggressive. They bite because they're reacting to something that happened to them, because they're fearful, because they're you invade in their space, or because they're sick. They might have a medical condition and feel bad, and they'll snap at you.
Yeah. Linda, how is this handled legally? If a postal employee is, or letter carrier is bitten, is this handled through the post office, or is that a personal attack?
Well, it's actually handled at two different levels for our employees. The first one is that we obviously provide workers' compensation benefits to anybody who's injured as a result of a dog attack.
Sure.
But we also do have the opportunity for litigation. It could result in a tort claim act against the property homeowner so that we could recover some of those funds, because technically it's not a work-related injury. I didn't cause it as the employer.
Right.
The customer who failed to restrain their dog caused it, so they have some liability in that matter.
Right.
And I know that we've been readily involved with some of the insurance agencies as well, and I believe that they find this to be a large issue as well for homeowners insurance and the like.
Well, it absolutely is. Doctor, what happens if you are bitten, whether you're a letter carrier or not? Maybe you're just walking your dog and some other dog came up and started a fight with the dogs or bit you. What do you do?
The first thing that the dog owner needs to remove the dog from the area, and then look at the victim, take a look at the wounds. If it's something that warrants going to the hospital, we recommend that they go. Many times it just requires antibiotics.
Uh-huh.
Some other, obviously, more severe wounds need to be attended, by stitches or whatever it requires.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the dog and the owner, the first thing that we want to look at is the rabies status of that dog, whether it's up to date on rabies.
Yeah.
If it is, it makes everything very easy, and that changes according to the state. Some or the county or the parish. Some states require rabies vaccination every year.
Yeah.
Areas where there's rabies, like I live in Puerto Rico, and unfortunately because of mongoose, we have rabies in Puerto Rico, and we require rabies vaccination on a yearly basis. Other states might only require it every 3 years. So
mm-hmm.
that's very important. The rabies status will determine how the whole protocol is followed.
Okay.
Then after that, is the extent of the injuries will determine what to follow. But clean your hands or wherever you get bitten with soap and water first, and then I would visit a physician just to make sure everything's okay.
This can all be avoided if humans just aren't so cocky about their pets. Okay. Interesting. We could go on, but I think we're a little bit out of time here. How do we get more information?
Right now, Ron, we have a lot of information posted on the AVMA website, and that's www.avma.org.
Excellent. Thank you both for your time this morning and for bringing it to our attention again, because it needs to be talked about and resolved. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron, for having us.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do it. I could not do this. Did you catch that? I stumbled over my own words. Wow, that's weird, huh? Did that ever happen to you? You go to say something and it doesn't come out of your mouth properly? Is that embarrassing? And it makes you sound really stupid, but you're not stupid. You just had a momentary lapse of confusion in your mouth. How did that happen? I don't know. My brain and my mouth did not connect. They usually connect very well. Whenever I think comes out of the mouth, no problem. But for some reason, sometimes you trip over your words and your brain is sending the message to your mouth, and your mouth says, I'm not going to do that right now. We got a little tied up here, a little behind, you know. So that's what happened. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.